This morning, too, I want to thank everyone who was able to attend yesterday to the service for Sandra. I think we had a wonderful service yesterday. The crowd was wonderful, and I think it was a celebration more than anything, and that's what it needs to be, especially for believers. There's too many people in the world that don't know God, and we run into them, we speak with them, we see them every day of our life, and it's evident at times when we are in the presence of those who don't believe in the salvation that comes through Jesus. And I want to speak to you about that this morning. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14, and please stand with me in honor of God's word. Just this one verse, Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you that you have opened our eyes and our ears to your words and your truth. Lord, thank you that you have opened our hearts to receive and to be made a new creation in you. But Father, as we celebrate, we also mourn for those that don't see or hear and whose hearts have not been opened. And I pray, Father, through us, let us be seen as a light unto you and a voice that sings in victory because of you. And Lord, I pray that they too see and hear and their hearts receive unto salvation. Help us. Lord, we ask it only to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you know, when someone has reached a decision point where they're in that place where there's no God to them, where do they go? What do they turn to after that? There is a quote from an author from long ago. I don't know, some of you may have heard of him. His name is G.K. Chesterton. And he was a writer and a philosopher and an apologist defending the Christian faith. And he had a quote I want to share with you. He says, when belief in God becomes difficult, the tendency is to turn away from him. But in heaven's name, to what? So when you turn away from God, where are you turning to? What are you turning to? You know, in our world today, there is a common phrase that we use, and sometimes I think we use it without really thinking about the impact of that statement, the context of what we're saying. I'm guilty of things like that myself. And you'll know this as soon as I say it. But we have something that we tell people. We give them advice. We say to them, let your heart be your guide. Let your heart be your guide. But let me tell you this. When we say to someone, let your heart be your guide, we encourage them to trust their emotions and to listen to whatever inner wisdom they have of their own. But what is the foundation of that wisdom that they have within them? Let your heart be your guide. I mean, that could be absolutely the wrong advice we could give someone, especially when they're depending on emotions and their own wisdom, built and founded in the ways of the world. And God tells us quite clearly that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. And if they don't have God within, how can they receive the wisdom to guide that they need? Except that God's people are in the world showing and living it for them to see and hear. But the fool who doesn't believe in God is everywhere, all around us. I would bet that we have family members that don't believe in God. How many of you can think of someone within your own family who does not believe in God? It's a painful thing I'm asking you to think about. But what I'm asking you to also do is consider how much that eternal pain will be if they enter into eternity without God. And to pray for them and to be the kind of person that they need. You can't beat anybody over the head with a hardback Bible and say, "You better believe." Had a conversation with someone about that earlier this morning already. Through experience, I have learned that. We can't make anyone submit to God and be saved in that submission. But there are things we can do. Pray, love, and show them that you're there for them to talk when they need to talk. A shoulder when they need a shoulder. And I'm a hugger. A hug if you need a hug. How many of us in here are huggers? Okay. The ones that didn't raise your hands, I'm coming for you first at the end of the service. How wonderful it is to get a hug. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when we tell people, you know, let your heart be your guide, we need to think more in lines of what God has taught us in His Word and to hear these things. Even in Jeremiah, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can understand it? And we have throughout Scripture all of these warnings about the heart. Even in Proverbs, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And that is the one who can hear God calling and speaking. That is the one that can feel the bump of the Holy Spirit to get you back on track. That is the one who is willing to hear and to be submissive to a God who loves you and guides you in that love. But a fool is about me. It's about me and what I want and how I think I need to do it and how I think it should be done and what it does to others and how it impacts anybody else doesn't matter. And God will tell us that we need to consider these things. Others as well as ourselves. I certainly don't want to lead someone into a path of destruction. I don't want to be on a path of destruction. And I'm telling you today, to get off of that path or to help someone get off of that path, we've got to show them God and His love in our life. The fool not only has said in his heart that there is no God, they do corruptible and abominable works in the sight of mankind, especially in the eyes of God, where nothing is hidden and everything will be known. You find these words, and these words ought to be a warning to us. And Jesus is teaching, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. If I ever tell you to trust in your heart, wake me up. Because the heart is wicked and deceitful. It's a Pandora's box. I love to walk around the beach whenever I take the opportunity to go to the beach, which is not very often anymore. It's too hot. It's too stinky. It's too sandy. But I have a metal detector I love to walk around with. I find a little change every time I go. I've not been skunked yet, even if it was just a penny. But I always have these imaginations that I'm going to hit something and I'm going to dig that thing up and it's going to be a treasure chest and I'm going to pop that thing open and guess what's going to be in it? Spanish gold. I love to think about these things. Never found that chest yet. But you know, people look at the hearts of their friends and their loved ones and they see that kind of thing, a chest of gold. And I'm telling you, it's not a chest of gold if God's not in it. It's a Pandora's box. And it's full of evil and wickedness and deception. And as soon as you open it, it spills out, it pours out, and there is nothing you can do to stop it. It is like a sport to a fool, we find in Proverbs. To do evil is like a sport, but a man of understanding has wisdom. And we need to begin by knowing that our hearts are deceiving us more often than it's being truthful with us. For our families and our friends. If you know God is the source of your wisdom, you can turn to His Word. If you don't know what He's saying to you right then, say, God, help me in Your Word to understand. Walk with Him through Scripture. Walk with Him in prayer. Walk with Him through a fellow believing friend. You don't have to walk by yourself. Call your friend who is a believer and say, hey, I need someone to walk with me. I need a friend to walk with me to help me see. And if your friend says, trust in your heart, you go ahead and just rack him up one. Boop. We're going to walk together and pray about this because we need both of us understanding and wisdom. I know. How many of us have ever made decisions based on our feelings and our heartfelt considerations? You know, it's something that is inherent with us. I get that. But what else comes with all of that is the wickedness that's in there and the misdirection that it will deceive us with. Because our hearts are more in line with the will of God's enemy than it is with the will of God. But if you're hearing me, then you are beginning to think like a wise person. And you are beginning to say to yourself, my heart is not trustworthy. But I have a God who will lead and guide safely. Because everything God does for us, He does for our good. Doesn't He? Yes, He does. The warnings that He gives is for our good. The pats on the back is for our good, and it's encouragement for us to keep going. So are the warnings. Because He doesn't just warn and say, okay, I'm done. He says, now let's get this thing worked out. Let's figure out what we did, and let's get back on track, and let's move. And we can walk in joy and peace again. Because God doesn't abandon His people. He doesn't leave them. He doesn't forsake them. And He is always there when we need Him. The fool doesn't have this. He's already said in his heart, there is no God. Who's he walking with? Who is he talking with? And where's he going to end up? It's a frightful thing when you think of this. And they live by the flesh and they live by their own desires, Because to do evil is like sport to them, and all of this wickedness and these lies and these deceits and these fornications are pouring out of their life. And you try to talk to them about God, and you try to speak to them about salvation, and they'll say to you things like this: "Oh man, there's going to be the biggest party in hell that there's ever been." How many of you have heard that? You know, there's not going to be a party in hell. Amen. It's going to be painful. It's going to be suffering. It is going to be eternal damnation. And Jesus said more about hell than he said about heaven. And the thing you need to hear is he says this: their worm will never die. It's not going to end. And even for those of us who have found peace and salvation in Jesus, we need to be awake to this. And our senses need to tingle when we hear these things, these truths, because God is reminding us, there I would go except for His grace. But when I look at my neighbor that is still headed that way, what am I doing? Because am I becoming a fool in my own way by saying, "Oh, someone will take care of them"? Am I leaving it all up to God, who has said to me the moment of my salvation, "You're a new creation, but I have work I want to do with you and through you"? You see, sometimes we as believers, we tend to think that it's always someone else's job. We even have circles of faith that tell us, "Oh, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved. Doesn't matter what I do." But I'm telling you, if you want to love and honor God, then you'll do it every opportunity you get. Because you might be that moment God is using and working through. And we have to be mindful of these things. We have to be mindful that these people are around us every day and their hearts are screaming, "There is no God." I mean, they'll even tell us in conversations. And it just, I don't get it. I don't understand why people will believe, just outright believe the lie that there is no God in all that we see in creation. And believe me, God can be seen in creation. He's everywhere. He's in everything. And there is no place that they can hide. And Jeremiah said, "Can anyone hide himself in a secret place? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" And then everything. God is there, and He sees, and He hears, even when it's muted, just in the echoes of your heart, He hears it. There's no place that we can go. But what I want you to hear today is, if you have found yourself in a place like this, saying there is no God, the God that does exist gives you hope to pull you out of that pit and out of that darkness. And He says, "I've given my Son for you. If you will just believe and come, repent of your sins, acknowledge Jesus Christ, ask Him to come in and make you a new creation," and God's going to say, "Welcome home." He's going to love you, and He's going to take you and embrace you. He's going to hug you just like I am when you go out the door. And you're going to be happy about it. And you're going to know peace. And you're going to know there is a God. And in the same way, we have said in our life at some point or another, "There is no God." Let us turn to the world now and say, "He lives!" Amen. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. He lives. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. But you forgive. You forgive. And you love that which doesn't deserve to be loved. One final word. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. If you can't get to a place where you can say, God, I'm here. Help me. Forgive me. Renew my life in you. Let me know the peace of salvation in you. Let me know the joy of having hope for life eternal. Even whatever trouble I may have in this world, God, you have given me peace that surpasses all understanding. If you can't get to that point, you stay right there. Know this. Being that prideful of who you are makes you an abomination in the eyes of God. And I'm pleading with you today to find a way to overcome yourself and let God have His place in your life. There's not one of us who can do it on our own. There's not one of us who can pay the ransom for our soul on our own. These things must come through God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I invite you today to come and to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. While there is time, will you come? Father, I thank you again for this day, and I thank you for hearts that receive your truth and your regeneration. Father, the newness of life and of hope that is given, we thank you for that. And I thank you, Father, for all of the blessings that we have in our life, especially your grace and your mercy upon us. Be with us and protect us from the evil one. And I pray, Father, make him a victim of his own device. And keep us safe. And help us in our testimony. And never let us forget that you are with us. Lord, we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Will you come?